And from the KTO newsroom, I'm Anna Canny. A section of downtown Juneau Street will have a new name this fall. The city's planning commission approved a request to change South Seward Street to Heritage Way last night. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute made the request. President Rosita Rorrell thanked the city administrators for their support.
I just think naming it Heritage Way really celebrates, you know, the heritage of Alaska's first people.
William Seward was the Secretary of State in 1867 when the U.S. bought unceded Alaska Native land from Russia. In 2020, hundreds of people signed a petition to remove a statue of Seward near the Alaska State Capitol, saying the purchase of Alaska reflected U.S. imperialism. South Seward Street runs from French Street to Marine Way between the Sea Alaska Heritage Institute building, Heritage Square, and the Sea Alaska Corporation headquarters. City Hall is also on that street. Juneau Community Development Director Jill McLean said the name change won't go into effect until after the October election so that there's no confusion about where to mail in or drop off ballots.
If the address changes before November 1st, it will cause complications for the election. So we've spoken to the applicant and they're agreeable to allow the name change to become effective November 1st, 2023, if the commission so approves it.
The Planning Commission unanimously approved the vote. Nationwide demand for electric heat pumps is higher than ever. In Southeast Alaska, communities that have access to renewable electricity can shrink their carbon footprints fast by installing heat pumps to replace oil and gas heating. The problem is, there's not enough people to install them. Heat pump professionals in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka are backed up for weeks or months as demand grows. And that could slow the pace of climate action.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
All right, I'm Phil.
Nice to meet you. Phil Joy lives in a cozy two-story house in downtown Juneau. It's nicely decorated. There's a big shelf packed with books and photos, and on the windowsill, a few slightly wilted bonsai trees.
Yeah, they're peppers. They're struggling a little bit now, especially the Thai chili one, but that's what happens.
He points to the cloudy sky outside. It's a cool, overcast day in June, but it's warm inside, thanks in part to the newest piece of home decor, a sleek white heat pump unit mounted high on the wall. When Joy moved to Juneau back in 2021, his realtor told him heat pumps were getting popular in town. That got him interested. Then earlier this year, he found some extra motivation.
When they passed the Inflation Reduction Act, I was like, oh, maybe I can make this work financially.
The bill introduced federal rebates and tax incentives for heat pumps to help homeowners like Joy cut their emissions. With the new funding, Joy said ditching his old oil furnace became a no-brainer.
I'm concerned about climate change, and this was a way, especially with our electricity being, you know, 100% renewable, it was a way to get off of oil almost completely at the house.
Heat pumps use electricity and refrigerants to heat and cool the air. They're much more efficient than traditional heating and cooling systems, and if they're hooked up to a source of renewable electricity, they're emissions-free. Experts have pointed to them as a climate solution. Buzz around heat pumps has been growing in places with cheap hydropower, like Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. The homeowners in those communities face long wait times to get one.
You don't want to wait until it gets cold, and then you think, oh, I should get a heat pump. And then you end up getting one in the spring because you had to wait all winter to get through the line to get your heat pump.
That's Andy Romanoff, Executive Director of Alaska Heat Smart. It's a Juneau-based nonprofit that helps homeowners navigate the process of switching to heat pumps. Romanoff said they have a list of close to 100 people who hope to get one, but getting through that list could take more than a year, and it's just a fraction of the eligible households. In simple terms, cutting emissions fast would mean picking up the pace on heat pump installation. But Romanoff's group doesn't install heat pumps. He says local heating and plumbing companies do.
We're just not sure how to speed things up.
Installers like Gary Smith don't have the answer either. He owns Schmalk Mechanical Contractors with branches in Juneau, Ketchikan, and Sitka. He says many contractors are already working at an unsustainable pace. To stay in business in small communities, Smith's employees have to be able to juggle a wide variety of jobs, things like plumbing, refrigeration, and other types of heating, not just heat pumps.
If the heat pump installation market is just trickling, you can't justify having a guy doing nothing but that.
But Smith acknowledges that the heat pump market is starting to boom.
There's a lot of people putting in a heat pump, replacing a perfectly good heating system.
So he's trying to figure out how to adjust. The obvious solution might be hiring more installers. But a workforce shortage for people in the skilled trades is a nationwide problem. Smith says one solution might be reimagining the way contractors do their work. a move towards specialization, basically the opposite of what they've done for years.
Our kind of plan moving forward is we need to get maybe a person in each town that installs heat pumps. Like, they have a van that is only made for installing heat pumps.
Smith and other installers say they're waiting for a moment when demand for heat pumps reaches some sort of tipping point. And they see it on the horizon as climate experts emphasize the need to cut greenhouse gas emissions fast. For Juneau homeowner Phil Joy, it took 6 months to get his heat pump installed, from January to June. But he says it was worth the wait.
It just got plugged yesterday. So yeah, it seems to be working okay. I'm excited about it, yeah.
And as installers adjust, all homeowners can do is be patient. In Juneau, I'm Anna Canny. A team of researchers have been combing the waters around Prince of Wales Island, looking for evidence that could shed more light on how long Indigenous people have lived on this land. As KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, an underwater robot powered by AI, has a key role.
After the discovery of an ancient fish trap last year, scientists were able to place Indigenous people near Prince of Wales Island around 11,000 years ago. Now, more research is being done to see if they can push that time back even further. Kelly Monteleone is a lead researcher with the crew.
And we're really hoping that we can find evidence going back, you know, thousands of years more to get people on this continental shelf 16, maybe even 20,000 years ago.
She explains that the people who lived along that shelf tens of thousands of years ago are likely ancestors to modern-day residents.
We're hoping to find caves, and then we know that because of changing in sediments, we're not necessarily going to find things on the surface in caves. So we're trying to take a number of sediment samples.
The samples will then be searched for something called microdebitage. It's a big word for something that's actually really small.
So every time somebody sharpens or uses a stone tool, little itsy-bitsy flakes come off, sometimes less than 1 millimeter in size. And we can find those in the sediment samples if people were using tools in the cave.
The sediment will undergo a variety of tests.
We're also going to be analyzing the sediments for environmental factors. And so we'll radiocarbon date, and we're going to get pollen and something called dinoflagellate cysts, which are little microscopic organisms that tell us about the water column at the time the sedimentation happened.
But there's one catch. The caves are now underwater. Monteleone says they would have been above water around 10,000 years ago, when sea levels were about 165 meters lower than what they are now. So the team is using an underwater robot powered by AI called Sunfish. Christoph Richmond is the co-principal investigator involved on the robotic side of the project. He says the robot is going to explore areas that humans pointed out last year.
And it does very precise mapping using sonar and cameras, and can actually navigate into caves autonomously. So it's able to explore really complex underwater features and map them out. And so we're using that tool to help us really identify with precision what kind of features, you know, we saw in this high-level overview.
The team also held public events with the robot over the weekend in Craig and Klawock.
This is just, for us, a real exciting opportunity to demonstrate AI and autonomous functions, to get to places where people can't and learn lots about our environment, where we come from, and, you know, get into unexplored territory and just push the boundaries of human knowledge.
It will take another year or so to comb through what the team finds, but they hope it will lead to even more research about the history of people living in Southeast Alaska. In Ketchikan, I'm Reagan Miller.
Tribes in Southeast Alaska and across the border in Canada have declared an emergency for salmon facing environmental risks. Leaders with the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission made the announcement at the 4th Annual Indigenous Leaders Summit in Washington last week. The Transboundary Commission represents 15 Tsimshian, Tlingit, and Haida nations. They say the Pacific salmon are facing habitat loss and degradation of critical waterways on both sides of the border, and they cite declining populations of king and Chinook salmon especially. The commission wants two specific things to come from the Salmon Emergency Declaration. They hope to unify tribes on both sides of the border And they want recognition for traditional territories of Southeast Alaska tribes that run across the border. The lands are now in British Columbia and are subject to several large mining projects, some already operating and some that are being proposed. For more stories, check out ktoo.org.